All right. Well, we were all part of the Art of Growth community, and we outnumbered the other numbers by having four nines. And the way I remember us getting started was that Luke sent out a group text just to the four of us, asking a question about his perspective, some experience he was having about being a nine, and wondering if we had a similar experience. And then we kind of just started this conversation. And then I suggested that we, in addition to texting, we also meet on Zoom. And so we do that about once a month. And we also share whenever somebody has an idea they want to talk about, we pop it into a group text and we share kind of our perspectives of what it feels like to be a nine, and do we resonate with each other or not? And then it leads to some really great conversations. But I might not have that exactly right, but that's the way I remember it starting.
That's right. And I just really enjoyed the conversations that we would have, because I don't know a lot of nines in person. So it just was like a different way to feel understood and to connect with people who are like-minded and kind of see the world in a similar way that I do. So I've loved it. Mm. I hope it never ends.
And the community was awesome. I mean, having different perspectives and different numbers, but I always was just so hanging on every word that one of you guys said, because it was just so, it's like talking to yourself, but in a different, but outside of yourself, and you just get a different perspective and insight. So when Sarah suggested, it was just like, yes, of course.
Mm. So it was objective, but familiar to have that voice. Do you remember the question that you asked Luke that prompted some of this?
I don't remember the question. I think that I had sent them a podcast episode that I'd listened to that was all about type nines. I can't remember the specific question that I asked, but it's always interesting to hear the perspectives of other nines, to hear, is this sort of just my own personal experience, or is this, do other people relate to this? Is this type related? And so it's great to have like that foundation of the Enneagram to kind of meet in the headspace first. Like, I have an idea I want to discuss with you. And then, of course, naturally, it gets more into the heart space as we get talking. And I think the size of the group, there just being four of us, all of us were able to feel heard and have space to talk. So I think that's a big reason why it's continued, is because it's just like the perfect storm of good size and people who are good at balancing, listening and talking. So I think it's been a great just group for us to process both in the headspace and the heart space, different things that are going on in our lives.
I agree. I think the Art of Growth group was really, really good too. And I do have other Enneagram friends of different types that I still stay in touch with from that larger group. I don't know if other Enneagram types will have a similar experience, but to get a group of nines together who typically don't speak that much and kind of let other people kind of take the spotlight, it's just been a different cool way to get to know these three and just connect in a different way. Our energy kind of matches each other's, and the flow is just easier, I think, because we all know what it's like to not be heard and not be given space. It just comes so natural that we kind of just do that for each other.
And is that something you feel like grew over time, or did you guys get together for the first time and then afterwards, or is it like, oh man, that felt good, or take me into that experience a little bit?
I feel like it was right away. I mean, our calls, like the one last week, was 2 hours in a blank. Like, we just kept talking and talking. The conversation is just very organic and just goes with little, if any, prompt. Like, hey, let's talk about this podcast that we shared, or this idea, or sometimes we just get on and just talk and it just goes, and it's an hour and a half, 2 hours later.
Yeah, it's a space where I just feel very heard and understood. I've often felt kind of like the outsider. And in many of my contexts of groups of people that I'm with, I picked up on that in the larger group, that I always, like Melissa said, I like listening to what these other nines had to say about whatever topic we were talking about. I always resonated more with what they were sharing than anybody else. And so we already kind of knew each other. And then when we started this group of our own, it just clicked immediately for me. I feel like it's a space where I can be vulnerable and I can trust them with my stories.
We can be vulnerable, and I feel like I meet absolutely zero judgment from this group. We don't even live in the same states, but I just feel like such a closeness to these guys. And I can come to them with anything that's going on in my day-to-day life just to get perspective, support, just to even just be able to say it out loud and just have someone kind of help me process it. And never any judgment. And honestly, they don't even really try to give you solutions or fixes. It's almost just kind of like a support group.
Yeah, I think one of the gifts of the group has been, like you said, Shayna, the processing. I think there are other people in my life that I can talk to about things, but there's, I think partly it's due to the shared language of the Enneagram, the commitment to the inner work that we're all doing. But there's like a level of processing I can go to with you all and have a shared language around it that other people would just like look at me sideways if I was starting to. But with you guys, it's like you get it immediately because of the shared language and just, I think just the interest in the self-development topic.
Yeah, we're very head like process with thinking. That's another thing that I don't think I realized before I got so into this group is how much we need to like process through and think through things. We take things into our body, but we're definitely like thinking. And to be able to talk through that with other people is just, it's like, it's not weird. I have like my husband, he's like, don't you ever get sick of talking or thinking about this stuff? I'm like, no, never. And to have this space where other people are like that, it's just amazing and affirming that you're not weird. It's just, this is how your brain is functioning.
I love that. It sounds like there's a real context for empathy, for connection, for feeling heard, for feeling understood by having people who have a shared experience in a lot of ways. Do you feel like it's been more like a place to be understood, or do you feel like it's also been a real place that's helped you grow?
Both for me. It's definitely, I feel understood, which helps me be more vulnerable, which leads to sharing things that I might need help with. And then other people will share, they won't necessarily tell me what to do about it, but they'll share their own stories about a similar experience. And it always helps open up growth opportunities for me. And then we also are really good about sharing resources with each other. So when somebody hears a really good podcast or we're reading a book that's really interesting, we share those with each other and talk about them. Like we'll share those as we're texting, and then we'll all come together and we'll have all listened to it, or we'll have all read something. And it just leads to such rich conversation about ways that we can support ourselves and grow.
Like a perfect example of that is this most recent holiday season. I think as type nines, the holidays for me, and I learned through this group, can be kind of a stressful time because of how much we pick up and absorb and the tensions and all your family being together and just so many opportunities for not being heard and hurt feelings, all those kinds of things. So we were all just kind of sharing what we were anticipating going into the holidays. And there was, I think, two specific podcast resources that really helped me through the holiday season that I learned through this group. And then we kind of went to our holiday parties, did all that stuff, and then we're able to come back and just process through it with each other and the things that went well and the things that we didn't do so well on and the things that we learned and just all that kind of stuff. It's just, I get excited to like do something and then know that I can come here and talk to these guys about it.
Yeah, celebration is definitely one of the aspects that I think helps us grow. I think feeling understood is just kind of like the baseline. Like once we feel understood, we're like comfortable sharing more and more things. And then, yeah, it's cool to come back after like, say, a holiday that you were nervous about and say, hey, like I didn't fall into my typical pattern. And then everyone is like super supportive. They come around and say like, that's awesome. Like I you know, affirm that growth in you. And then times like there was something this past week where I dropped the ball. Like somebody I think was trying to be vulnerable with me and I kind of like wasn't listening, kind of ran over it. And after that happened, I was like, that's something I'm going to bring up with this group of nines and be like, you know, I kind of failed in this area, but I want to grow and make sure that I'm being able to like slow down and listen to people better.
Yeah. Is there any other examples you have of ways that talking has helped you work through something that was upcoming that you weren't sure how to handle, or just an area where I'm going to need to grow in order to navigate something that I've just experienced or I'm about to experience?
Well, something early on that when we first started meeting that, you know, I had been reading and working on my own with the Enneagram for about 10 years, but it wasn't until like starting into this group that I really got a handle on that thinking feeling loop and what that looks like and how that just keeps us stuck, and then how to move into that right action. And just talking through all of our different, we all have three different dominant instincts represented, and hearing how each of us experience that thinking feeling loop, and then how we get to that right action and what right action feels like for all of us. That was just super helpful. And I feel like launched me into a new like level of understanding and able to get out of that faster. I'm still going to go back into that pattern, of course, over and over, but I feel like I can get out of it faster and even bounce situations off of you guys. Like, hey, you know, I'm feeling like this. Is like this the right action? Like, how do you guys feel or see the right action in this situation?
I also think that it's been helpful to share, like when there's another Enneagram type that we're interacting with, and we're kind of stuck or frustrated with that, we can bring it to this group and say, hey, you know, I have an Enneagram 8 in my life or in my family. And sometimes, you know, I have this reaction, you know, do you have suggestions about how you handle it? Because we know each other have these people in our families and in our lives. And so being able to share different ways that we've grown in those relationships and are able to connect with each other has been really, really helpful for me.
And they're, like Melissa said, in this group, all three instincts are represented. So there are times when I share something and it doesn't resonate with this group very much because it's more coming from my social dominant instinct than my, you know, my nineness. If I leaned on this group solely for just being understood, and it wouldn't really benefit me that much, because there are times even within this group that I don't feel understood, but I do feel safe in this group. I think that's what I get out of this group, is a safe space to learn and process and grow and just kind of bring your whole self. And I think the fact that we are kind of a virtual community and not in each other's day-to-day lives, that almost gives me like this extra level of safety, because I can bring situations and it's almost like they're an objective third party. They don't know the people in my day-to-day life. So I can bring my stories here and not feel like I'm gossiping or things like that. I'm really genuinely just bringing my stories here and just seeking out some help and wisdom. I don't know that I really have any other area in my life that I feel like I have that.
It was interesting, as I was kind of thinking through this podcast, I realized I don't think I know the names of any of their family members. I don't know the names of their husbands, their children, anything, but I know almost all of their Enneagram types. And it is like what Shana said, it's not like that's a lack of intimacy or like a lack of knowing them, but it is helpful because you can talk about things in a way. It's like, if I knew their family personally, it might come off as a little gossipy or more like venting, but I do think we approach this a lot of times like, this is a problem that I'm trying to solve. Like, there's almost like a puzzle and I'm trying to figure out, do I need to shift somehow in this situation? How much of this responsibility is on me? How much is on the other person? And being able to process that, yeah, in a more objective, detached way, I think can be really helpful. And I think there's also, of course, a lot of value in going to like the close people in your day-to-day lives as well. I just think this group offers something a little bit different than maybe talking to our family members or our close friends about stuff.
What's interesting, what you're talking about here, there's like a shared intimacy, but there is a real sense of that non-attachment. Like, I don't have an agenda, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I really care about you. And there's something really beautiful about having relationships that are like that, which I think is probably a very difficult thing to find anywhere, is to have those overlapping spheres of intimacy and objectivity or non-attachment. Like, have you all felt like you resonate with what Luke said there?
Yes. And I think what I value a lot from this group is that As a 9, I get run over a lot. I have a lot of aggressive types in my family. I don't have a lot of withdrawn types in my up close circles. So this group is a place where I can come when I'm having a conflict in my day-to-day life with people that are, that I'm face to face with. And I can just get some support to then go back into that conflict and have conversations with those people. Because if I don't have someone kind of in my corner supporting me in telling me that my position and my voice matter, then I will very easily just get run over. So I think we have each other's best interests and in growth in mind. And I think, I don't know, I feel like this is a really sacred group. I value the fact that I just care about these people's well-being so much that I want to see them succeed and grow. I don't want to just placate and tell them that everyone else is wrong and you're right and just keep doing what you're doing. Like I really do care about them, their growth and just their health.
And having that just common base of wanting to learn and wanting to grow and seeking. And I don't know if that's unique to 9, but it's definitely something I see in the 3 of you, just like that desire to just keep growing and keep learning and keep digging is not something I experience with everyone in my life, but it's so much here. And it makes me just feel like more empowered to keep doing that instead of, oh, am I overthinking this? Am I just digging too deep? Do I just need to lay this down? It's like, no, this is growth. This is learning. This is life, is digging.
You used the word, Sheena, a moment ago, you used the word sacred. And the non-judgment you all brought up, it's like that the love there is, it isn't conditional because you're not caught in the conditions of the day-to-day life.
I do a lot of times wonder if that's a good or bad thing. And I try not to label it as good or bad.
Right.
Because, you know, in unhealth, I'm like, is this just me diving deeper into my type 9 patterns and just wanting friends that aren't complicated because they're not part of my everyday life? But I don't think that that's what it is. Because I, like I said, we don't just like placate each other. There is a level of like, I see myself in these other 9s. And I know when I'm just doing my 9 thing. So it's like, we're not harsh, but we do kind of, there is a level of like accountability within the group too.
Hmm. What does that look like? What does that mean?
I think we check in with each other. You know, when somebody's struggling with something, and then we'll have a conversation and people will share their stories of how they have grown. Then we'll come back to, it's like, how are you doing? How did that work out? How did that conversation go? And we'll talk about that. Another thing I've been thinking about as I've been listening to all of you is one of the unique things about this group is that we are each in a different decade of life. So there's a really big age range between us, which I think is really cool. And because we all are experiencing different things and we're from different parts of the country, we have different backgrounds. So when we do share something that we're struggling with, and other people provide their perspectives, it's like, I learn a lot from whatever the other person has shared. And then also having the Enneagram, we all have a basic understanding of the Enneagram. It really gives us a language to encourage and support each other and promote growth.
There was something recently that I think can fall under the category of accountability. I don't remember who had brought it up initially, but Shana was talking about some sort of quick rule, like there's 3 basic rules of show up, pay attention, and don't get attached to the outcome. And I just, whatever I was going through that week, I was like, that is just impossible to not get attached to the outcome. I was so frustrated with something that was going on and I was being so outcome oriented. And Shana, because we've been doing this for a while, quoted me back to myself, something I had said months ago. She was like, do you remember when you said this and you were talking about being honest and not getting attached to the outcome? I was like, dang it, Shana. Like, but I think that's a good example of how the growth work is never like, okay, like I have defeated this aspect. I'm not outcome oriented anymore or results oriented. It's like we might be doing well in that at a particular time, and then we shift away and maybe start working on something else, or it's just not top of mind. And then maybe someone else is working on that, and we can kind of remind each other and bring each other back to core aspects of our growth that maybe we're just not remembering. And that was just such a good reminder. And especially to just remember, okay, I have been here before. I have gotten through this before. I can go back to not being so attached to the outcome and being able to be more authentic, speak my mind more.
I love that example because I think some of us look at growth as this just very linear, you know, up and to the right type of thing. And we need accountability because sometimes it helps us remember who we are in the first place. I just sent out a newsletter about this, I think it was last week, about this idea that like the best people in our life, the people that are really helpful to us, they remind us of who we really are. Like, remember who you are at your best. And I think in that remembering, we are called back to that space. And we can incorporate that again. And it sounds like that was what was happening in that, because that's like a healthy version of accountability. It's not anything of like, well, this is what you should be doing. It's a remember who you are.
Well, and even I feel like a huge benefit for me is remembering who you are, like remembering that you can trust yourself whenever that trust, self-trust was lost when we were little or younger or whatever happened. I feel like the trust that we have amongst each other has fueled me to trust myself so much more than I've been able to do by myself.
Wow.
So that now I can, you know, like you said, remember who you are and then go out into the world and have more of a voice and trust that perspective because of this like communal conversation that I could never do on my own in, you know, reading books and podcasts and whatever by myself for all those years.
And I think we do bring a lot of resources, but like Melissa just said, I could listen to that and read those books all on my own. But this group, it like, I'm just realizing in this moment, they embody all of the information that I'm gathering. Like they help me practice it. They just make it more real and more a part of me so that I don't just read it and it, you know, I practice it for a week and I move on. When it's part of a community like this, we each remember different parts of it and can bring it back to each other. And I just think it sinks in deeper.
Because remembering is communal. And that's what's required for growth. And I think there's a lot of people in the Enneagram world who their main connection to it is listening to podcasts or reading books and articles and maybe a Facebook page or something like that, but that's not the same. It's not the same. And I wondered what you all would say to people that's their only connection right now to the Enneagram is like listening to podcasts. And
well, that was why I signed up for the Art of Growth community in the first place, was because I was really interested in learning about it. My resources were mostly books and podcasts. And I knew I wasn't going to get further unless I found a community of people who I could talk with about it. Because most of the people in my life are not learning about the Enneagram. And so I would show up and want to talk about it and they would not even know what I was talking about. So I needed to find people who shared this common interest. So I appreciated that initial opportunity that you and Joel provided with that community, because it gave me an end to a community of people who wanted to talk about this and learn and grow. And the learning and growing has increased exponentially with having a community to talk about, not just the book learning.
And I think I got to a point where I wanted to go deeper with the Enneagram. And I have some people in my life that are into it at varying levels. But when you get to a point where you go deeper and deeper, it can get a little bit lonely because you are learning all these new things and it's like a foreign language to everyone around you. So I could keep doing that on my own, but I don't like doing growth work on my own. I just don't feel like it. Then it's just head knowledge and it doesn't like really transform my behavior in any way. So I think what I would say to someone who's doing this alone is that there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just going to stay head knowledge until you have a safe place to practice it. In my life, not that everyone's unsafe. I do have phenomenal people in my day-to-day life, But if they don't know that something's new to you and you're just practicing, sometimes it doesn't feel very safe to keep going. So finding a community like this gives you that safe space to practice all these new things that you're learning about so that you can actually find true transformation. And I think if you don't have a good, safe community, you just, it, maybe you can still get there, but I don't know that I could.
And I think initially for me that the Art of Growth community, I was at a time in my life where I felt the patterning just repeating and repeating and repeating, and nothing was, like, I wasn't able to push myself out of that. And I saw that opportunity, and it was definitely, here's a door. Like, here's a door you can go through. Here, just click on this, join this community. And I, you know, I could feel that repressed social instinct being like, no, that is too scary. That is too much. Like, just stay with the books and whatever. I was like, okay, yes. Like, this is time. Yes. Say yes to that. And then, you know, that worked through itself. And then another door is Sarah inviting us to meet once a month in this community is like, yes. And I feel like being aware of doors that are open has been huge for me because of all this growth that has happened. And I've been able to take that into my like community and day-to-day life in the past few years. And like, oh, look at all these other doors that have been open that I've said no to because of whatever, again, that social repressed instinct, not wanting you to do it or going into it feeling like I don't belong or I'm on the edge or something. And this group has really helped me to affirm that you are in, like, you belong. This feeling of disconnect is just your mental construct. So, I mean, even in the past year, I've joined like two or three different groups online or in our community because of this and that strength that I've gotten of you are in, you belong. There's so much growth and transformation by entering into those groups instead of staying in your lane and in your head.
So the summary is, if you don't feel like you belong, find a group of nines, because we're really good at making people feel like they belong.
Well, connecting other types is something that Joel and I already started talking about based on what you all are doing. Be like, well, how can we use the platform to connect others who would like to do something similar? Because, you know, we don't want to just hear about it. We want to inspire people to be a part of community. This whole series we've been in has been on connection and creating connection. And I think a friend of mine said to me years ago, he said, I think one of the problems is we've drawn too small of circles around our family. Mm-hmm. And there's something to drawing it a little bit bigger and saying, well, yeah, I can connect with someone who is a completely different age, different walk of life, different geographical location, and they might be able to see me in a way that nobody in my immediate circle can. And that's what I'm hearing as I'm sitting here, and I'm really inspired by what you all are doing and how you're able to show up for each other. And there's so many ways that people can do that and benefit from that. I know a couple of my group coaching groups that they still message each other and talk, you know, that we hosted, you know, even going back a few years now, they still connect. And I think there's something about being in a space where the expectation is that we're going to speak a similar language, that we are objective outsiders of the other person's daily lives. And I really do care about what you experience in your daily life, that really matters to me. And we often say a value of the nine is the mutual regard. And there's a lot of that mutual regard of each other's like experience and story that's happening on a regular basis with you all. At least that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think that the biggest piece for me that was holding me back from connection was the vulnerability. So I think even talking to these nines, even when we were in our larger group still, you just kind of, hear snippets of their lives and kind of what they're going through. And I would kind of share surface level, kind of vague things. And it wasn't until I finally decided, all right, I'm just going to tell people the messiness of the things going on in my life. I think that it kind of went to a whole nother level. So I think just being brave enough to just kind of share your whole true messy self is a big piece of this community. Honestly, I didn't want to. I was to a point in my life where I was desperate enough that I just did it. It wasn't because I was in a good place. So I think sometimes you find these good, deep connections when you're in your darkest places in your story. I just wanted to highlight that you have to be ready to be vulnerable and brave enough to share your real story. I mean, you can find people, but you're not going to connect deeply with them.
I think since we are all nines, there is an expectation that these people will understand where I'm coming from because we tend to know what the others are experiencing. There have been times where I thought that I was alone in something, and I was surprised to find out that I wasn't, that they were experiencing something similar. Maybe not everybody, but at least one other person would say, I've been there. Like, a big conflict that came up recently is I got the feedback that I was interrupting my friend, like, constantly, so that I get so frustrated because you interrupt me when I'm talking. And I brought this to the nines. I'm like, well, nines are such good listeners. Like, they're the sweethearts of the Enneagram. I'm a big jerk, but they're all really nice. And I brought it and I was like, oh, this is what happened. And they were all like, yeah, I get the feedback that I interrupt people too. Like, only my closest people feel that I talk over them or that I interrupt them, and they get really frustrated. And so there was this like, wow, like I thought that I was the only nine on the face of the planet that was like interrupting people. I feel like people sometimes who are close to me think that I'm maybe a bit mean, and other nines are so nice. And so it was nice to hear, okay, I'm not alone in being like that. Some people, yeah, can perceive us like that.
That was a real connecting point for me too, Luke, because I've always felt like my interrupting is actually like showing interest and engagement. But there are some people who don't like being interrupted. Like my interrupting to ask a question,
yeah,
is not always seen as a positive thing, but I never really understood it. And it was really helpful to hear that conversation with you and know that, oh, it's just a different style. It's our style of engaging, but maybe it's too much for other people, which is kind of funny because we usually feel like other people can be too much for us. So it was a good conversation.
Well, I love the other gift you gave each other in that space is like normalizing. No, you're not weird. You're not out there. There's not something wrong with you, because that's the real heart behind the question you brought, Luke. Like, is there something wrong with me? And then the response you got is, no, there's nothing wrong with you. That doesn't mean there's nothing to work on, but there's nothing wrong with you, which I hope is like the experience that you all have in that space, because that's the truth. And that's the gift that we can really give each other. Yeah. Do you have an example of something that you all talked through together? Another example of something someone brought and you all discussed it, and it made you all feel like, oh, okay.
I think even related to the series that you're doing right now in the Art of Growth on connection, I think it was mentioned in one of the podcasts that sometimes nines, and Melissa mentioned earlier, that we have this expectation of disconnection. So we're already prone to look for the areas where we are disconnected from people, and we're extra sensitive to that. And so that's been a big topic. We're all like, yes, we resonate with that. And we sometimes can feel so disconnected, even though we know that's a lie, because we're looking for people's reactions, people shutting us out, people not inviting us to stuff, that, yeah, we're seeking out the very, you know, disconnection that we're trying to avoid. And I think that was helpful for all of us.
We kind of went down a rabbit hole of even like talking about how we speak to other people, how that belief that we're disconnected kind of forms the way that we even make requests or ask questions. Even to the point of like, hey, could you do this for me? But if you're busy, it's no big deal. And just trying to even kind of like reframe how we, just recognizing how much our way of being that's formed by the false belief that we're not connected leads to more disconnection because of the way that we even engage with people. We give people outs all the time.
Yeah, that made me really, really understand how much energy and attention I give to looking for disconnect, like being on the alert for it, because I'm fundamentally so scared of it. It's like I'm not even looking at the connection. I'm just looking for the disconnect so I can react to it. So that question that you guys had brought up, act as if you are connected already. I didn't know that was an option. I didn't know, like, wait, I can really do that? Because so much energy, so much mental, physical energy, it's just like looking for that disconnect so I can repair it. Well, maybe if I just shift that energy to being in the connection, it just opened up like so much mental space for me.
And that's another great example, Melissa, because of circling back, because I learned that from you months ago. I struggle with walking into big groups of people where I don't know anybody, or I just feel really uncomfortable and like I don't belong. I'm disconnected before I even walk in the door. And you're like, just assume that you do belong and find somebody to talk to. And I have been using that a lot in those circumstances. Just like, I belong here, you know, just like everybody else belongs here. I belong here. And I learned that from you, Melissa. And then, you know, you needed to hear it again.
Well, and I learned that from the original Art of Growth community group, because I had realized how much I had assumed, well, I'm on the edge, I don't belong. And through that group, I was like, I just keep telling myself that. Like, what if I just switched that and said, well, I am, like, I am here. Like, I am showing up. I am in. From that came, like, those other mindset changes of, like, the power of just changing that narrative is, it can be really life-changing if you allow yourself to take it in and to look around at how much energy you're spending on that narrative that is actually not true, and switching it to another one. It just feels like mental freedom for me.
Yeah, Joel talks a lot about that. We spend so much energy trying to avoid what our type doesn't want instead of actually getting what our type wants. It's like, it's not so much about the pursuit of peace, but the avoidance of disruption and disconnection. And to realize, like, you are already a presence of peace. And it's beautiful to be in a place where you're with other people who reflect and also carry that gift to them. And I don't know a nine that doesn't underestimate the gift of peace they bring to those around them. So this is really neat to hear this. Do you feel like there's anything else that you would love for people to know, or you'd like to encourage people to consider or pursue because of what you've experienced with each other?
I think I just want to say, I have this group, and then I had started a book club a few years back as well. And when you're in the pursuit of community, you just have to expect rejection. It's part of the process. So please don't let rejections deter you. You will run into them, and that's okay. That those just weren't the right people. So just keep trying and just keep asking and keep pursuing people.
And just keep looking for the opportunity, just being aware of, you know, what doors are open here and there.
I would agree with what Shana had said earlier about sometimes you come to these places because you're stuck and you're in a really hard place, and you have to figure something out new because the old patterns aren't working anymore. That's certainly been the case for me. My communities have really opened up because of that. I was in a really hard place, and so I joined a community, and then I realized how helpful that was, and then I joined another community, and then I joined another community, and I started looking for the people who helped me. It's given me courage to reach out to other people to kind of build these little networks of people, and it's been huge in my own growth and just happiness in life to have more community in my life. And the more you open yourself up to it, the more opportunities will present themselves. That's been my experience.
Yeah. I'll second what Melissa said on looking for the open doors. But also, you know, I think Sarah took a really big, you know, it was a vulnerable risk when she asked us, do you guys want to meet on Zoom? You know, sometimes you have to kick the door open a little bit or just get in there. And she would continue to ask us month after month. She's like, you know, do you want to meet on this day at this time? Does that work for you? And that was a continued vulnerability because, you know, we're nines. We get stuck in our day-to-day lives. We're not necessarily like going to be the first one to reach out and ask to do something, but we all really wanted to meet. And so the fact that she was willing to kind of put the energy behind it initially until we all felt, I think, comfortable enough that she doesn't have to always have the burden of scheduling. So especially for the nines who are listening, taking that risk can have just huge payoffs.
Since we started the podcast, the nine episodes are always the most frequently listened to. I think our top three all-time downloaded episodes are all Type 9 episodes. So I think there is something about a lot of Type 9s looking to go, does anyone else feel this way? Does anyone else understand what it's like to be like this? And I think that was one of those episodes was the first to pass like the 30 or 40,000 download mark early on and to go, oh, like that, there's a lot of nines that are looking to go, maybe I'm not alone in this. And I would love to see, you know, hundreds of clumps of every type getting together and being like, what is this like for you? Is this normal? Is this okay? I can handle this. Because you talk about like looking for a group when you're in a dark time that you were struggling. And it's hard to struggle. It's way harder to struggle alone. It just makes it not as dark, makes it not feel like it's as much of a burden, especially to be in a place where people go, oh, I know what that's like. I know every one of those episodes that I've been on where it's like I'm sitting with those who are similar to my type. Part of me is just kind of like, oh, don't do that. I had to learn that lesson. And then part of me is like, oh, I understand. I understand what that's like. And all of that belongs. All of that is good. And I love that you all have been able to be there for each other. And I do hope that others are willing to be vulnerable, like you said, because that is a huge component of saying, hey, do the three of you want to get together and talk? Can we all talk about this thing that I'm thinking about or I'm struggling with? You know, that is a beautiful thing. And when you think about it, I think there's a vulnerability in asking, but I think most people are out there dreaming of someone to ask them that. And you did it. So well done. And so if you're out there and you're dreaming of someone for someone to ask you, you might have to be the one to ask. Because you can join something or you can start it and let others join you. And that's a good thing too. So thank you so much to the four of you for being here today and for sharing this. There's so many little nuggets in here that I think are so full of wisdom, of even an experience of peace in what you shared that others will gain by listening. And so thank you so much.